paid
260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
What is up? What up? What up? What up? We back. We back at it. Kickback Pod. We are doing a live pod. And you know what that means, guys? We're actually in person with each other in the same room. We've been doing these pods over Zoom for I don't even know how long now, pretty much since pandemic.
Like 9 months or something.
Yeah, man. So we're finally in person once again. And this is actually a major pod, major milestone, because it is episode 20.
Wait, is it? Or
it's actually episode 20.
Okay, good. I had 19 in my head, but...
Oh, no. So like I actually like double-checked on it. My way here today, I started counting. We're actually on episode 20.
Damn. Okay. Nice. So, that is a major milestone. That's
yeah, man. That's big. That's there's how many double weeks in a year? 26.
26. So six more pods, and we've been going for a whole year, man.
Pretty much. Yeah. No, that's sweet. And we didn't miss an episode. And yeah, man. And shout out to all you guys that have been listening since day one, and also all the new listeners. Shout out to you guys, man. Like appreciate all of the positive feedback we get on our Instagram, also on my YouTube comments and my DMs as well. So shout out to everyone who has been listening to the pod. But it's November, man. It's already November. Like that's the crazy part. It's are you doing Movember, by the way?
I mean, even if I did, people wouldn't notice. So like,
no.
I mean, I think you would see like it ends up looking shit. So no, I'm not doing that.
Oh,
are you?
See, I tried doing it one time, and I ended up looking like FBI's most wanted.
Oh man, yeah. No, I can imagine. I mean, I wish I could, but like my beard is very very patchy. So.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. No, that's yeah. I'm never doing that again, man. Ever. No nice. Nut November. No.
Does it count if you like? Is it does sex count?
I think so. Right. Like, I think that's the whole point. You're supposed to, like, abstain.
Ah, I thought it was just you abstain from masturbating.
Oh, is that the rule?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. But although I think it makes more sense, like, no nut, like, any kind of nut, right? Like,
yeah, I know? Think so. Right. I think so.
No, so then I am also not doing that.
Yeah, me neither, man. Definitely not doing that. Who actually does that, actually? Is it, like, the nymphos?
Dude, I bet you it's just... people like college kids who are not getting any anyway, and they're like, "Yeah, fuck it. I'm just gonna call it No Nut November." But really, it's just
it's a regular month. Yeah, I think you know what? I think your theory may be right.
Yeah,
I think Fabian's right on this one. But yeah, man, good to do a pod in person. How's your last 2 weeks been, man?
Man, what has happened in the last 2 weeks? A lot has happened, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you were telling me before the pod, you're moving.
Yes.
You got a new apartment.
Yeah, my girlfriend and I have been looking for a place for probably a year now, and it's super difficult in Berlin. I think we've talked about this on the pod before.
It's the hardest thing to do in Berlin.
And so we just got a really nice place, 3-room, 85 square meter, which... I don't know what that is in square feet. Sorry to the Americans out there. But,
I have no idea either.
It's relatively big, and it's a nice part of town, close to a lot of friends. Actually, closer to you now as well, which is
very close. Cool. Yeah, just a short, like, I think it's like 10 minutes now. We're 10 minutes from each other.
What about you, man? What have you been up to?
It's not really been a good couple of weeks for me, to be honest. So first, I was at your place a couple of weeks ago and got destroyed. On the PlayStation.
Oh, that is true. I'm undefeated FIFA. I am the Kickback FIFA Pod champion.
No, it was not even like it wasn't close, man. It was we played 3 games. I lost all 3. I think the combined aggregate was probably like 6-1.
Although the first 2 games were just 1-0, right?
In extra time. Right.
But actually, then I think the third game was a little like
3-1,
3-1, 4-1, or something like that.
Yeah. So I got my ass handed to me. So confidence was already at an all time low, and then I ended up losing my camera. I left my camera on the tram, and that was really bad. That sucked. And and for you guys who watched my video on the Air Max 1 Pata, the blue pair, I got a lot of comments in the video saying like, bro, you don't know how to use autofocus, man. Like, and it was because I was using a camera from like 10 years ago. Like I was using a backup camera from a long time ago and it was an absolute piece of shit. So yeah, so the autofocus was terrible on that one, unfortunately. But I had to put the video out ASAP, so I ended up putting it out anyways. But it's all good now. I got a new camera. Well, the same camera I had before, just bought a new one. And yeah, man, shit happens, I guess. What can you do?
I mean, that also happened on the way over to my place.
Yes,
right?
So that happened on the way over to your place.
Yeah, so just make sure nothing happens today, right? Like on the way back, don't leave your bag in the tram again.
No,
or something
I was
like that.
I was super careful today. I had the bag over my shoulder. I'm like, there's no way I'm letting go of this bag.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it could have been better, but it's all good. At least when it comes to sneakers, though, a lot of pickups over the last couple of weeks. So I'll get started on that. So first of all, I copped the Yeezy 450s finally.
Oh, I saw them on your Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like I missed out on like the first two colorways, right? The cloud and the and then what was the second colorway called? I just know it was black.
Yeah, it was. I don't know, but the all black one, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I got the cloud pair, and after finally getting a pair of these in hand, I gotta say I was kind of wrong about this sneaker, man, because in person, they hit different.
Yeah.
They're pretty nice on feet, man.
Are they comfortable too?
They're very comfortable. And also, like, you know what? I was always, you know, making fun of it, calling it like it looked like a wonton, looked like dumplings. But on feet, it looks pretty nice, man. It looks pretty nice. It looks like nothing else too, you know? Like, it kind of like really stands out from other sneakers. And this colorway, I got the Cloud White. That was a restock on the Confirmed app. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was... Honestly, man, I'm very happy about these shoes. I ended up getting the wrong size, unfortunately. You definitely need to go a half size up for anyone wondering.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it fits pretty tight. So I'm still looking for my correct size, but I'm pretty happy with the Yeezy 450. I think I'm gonna actually end up keeping my pair.
Nice.
So it's pretty nice. Also, the Salehe Bembry 574 Yurt. Or whatever they're supposed to be called. This pair has to be the biggest sneaker in my entire...
Just in terms of like mass.
I'm talking about like the actual size of the shoe. Mm-hmm. So prior to this, like the biggest sneaker I owned was the Sakai Vapor Waffles.
Yeah.
Like that sneaker, if you put it side by side with like a Balenciaga Triple S, it's pretty much like the same when it comes to like height and like girth.
Yeah.
But then like this one though, this Yurt pair or whatever, it's even like much bigger than the Vapor Waffles. It's a massive pair, even though like I got a size 11 and it fits me perfectly, and it might even actually fit kind of small, to be honest. But it's huge, man. It's like the chunkiest New Balance sneaker.
But is it like the sole that's big or...
Yeah, it's the sole. The outsole, the midsole is just like, it really like protrudes out of the shoe. So it just looks really, really chunky on feet. So that was pretty surprising. I didn't expect that. And of course, like, yeah, there's that, you know, kind of gimmicky like whistle at the back, which it's pretty cool. I mean, we've seen a lot of things on sneakers now over the last like 50 years. If we haven't seen a whistle yet.
Did you blow it?
Yeah, and not only blew the whistle, I also blew the whistle while wearing the shoe.
What?
Yeah, flexibility, man. Dude.
How?
Dude, all those years of yoga paid off, bro. I'm telling you.
There needs to be a video of this.
No, I'm going to do it. So I'm going to drop the review of this shoe later this week. And in the video, I'm going to blow the whistle with the shoe on me. So basically wearing the shoe.
I'm imagining you doing like a Matrix style, like leaning back and then like... basically folding over and then blowing the whistle. Like,
oh,
that.
Yeah, dude. It's like crazy contortioning of my body, man. But I was able to do it, man.
Nice.
So there's going to be video proof of this later on in the week. Yeah, so like those were the two. Also, the Patas, of course. I managed to cop those from the Pata website as well in my size. The blue pair.
Nice.
Aquas. I said in the video that I really like the Aquas even more than the Monarchs, but... I changed my mind. As the week went on, I was looking at the two pairs side by side, and I'm like, the Monarch one, just I think is nicer. It's a nice fall colorway, and I generally like orange shoes. So
yeah. It's like an orange-brown, right? It's like you said, it's a good fall colorway, and it's also a colorway that you wear relatively well. I think with the, you know, the clothes you wear, it matches.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. And I have so many blue shoes also. So I saw, yeah, I think I'm going to end up actually keeping the Monarchs and probably flipping the other two. Nice. What about you? Any pickups?
So I got the Stone Island New Balance RC Elite.
Dope pair.
Which I've been really excited about because remember that one pair that went viral on Instagram that somebody had dyed like a certain color and then it came out like brown? Remember that one?
Yeah. No, that wasn't that also the Stone Islands?
Yeah, yeah. So after seeing that, I was like, damn, if I get a pair, I need to dye them. And apparently that guy, he tried to dye them like a light color and then they just went brown, which is weird. But it came out really, really nice. And I mean, you saw earlier, but for people listening, I just bought a dark green dye and I'm going to probably dye them this weekend and see how it comes out. So, you know, stay tuned to Instagram because I'm going to be doing like a little tutorial kind of.
Oh, no way, man. No way. Those tutorials I've noticed lately, they're just kind of going viral on Instagram Reels.
Because people, like, I think people want to do stuff, you know, like DIY, like through Corona and people being at home and being bored, like kind of took off. And I think sneaker culture in general has always been about customizing and making shoes your own. And Corona has really just like made that so much more, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So I got those and then I got a pair of Adidas Gazelles, which are quite nice, just like a classic green and white colorway. And then I got the Eames Reebok Club C85. In white and black. Reebok was kind enough to send those over. Super, super nice. Leather is really nice on those. And I mean, like, you can't really get much more classic than a Club C, you know?
Yeah, actually more on Club C's a little bit later in the show. the Stone Islands in hand, they look really, really nice, I gotta say. Like, I like the way they did the collab, you know? Like, it's two brands I didn't expect to collab with each other. And it's interesting that they chose a running model. Mm-hmm. But the final product, I think, looks pretty dope. The pair actually reminds me a lot of like those off-white Zoom Flies.
Yeah, it's a very similar shoe, right? Like super lightweight, super comfortable, kind of translucent upper. Very, very, very solid pair.
Yeah, very nice. So the topic for today. So we were thinking about, you know, like underrated shoes. And there's just so many underrated pairs, not only like from each brand, but there's underrated brands themselves. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to basically kind of highlight some of these underrated models on this pod. So what we were going to do is go through every single brand, or at least the big ones, and give you guys like what we feel is one very underrated sneaker from that brand. And also at the end, we'll also give you a underrated brand too, not just, you know, the big ones.
Like a sleeper pick to look out for.
Exactly. A sleeper pick to look out for. So that's kind of what we're going to get into this week. And first of all, before we even give you the our different picks, like what should be the criteria for what defines an underrated sneaker?
Well, I was thinking about this earlier when I was like preparing, and I feel like the traditional definition of underrated is like something that's not rated but should be rated, you know? But I feel like if you want to get technical, even a highly rated shoe can be underrated if you feel like it just doesn't get enough love.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably go with that one. Like if you think that a shoe doesn't get enough respect or love or attention, then it's underrated in your opinion.
Okay. I like that definition. I was thinking also, it's got to be like a shoe that doesn't really sell out. I'm not just going to be looking at, you know, prices on the aftermarket and say, oh yeah, this shoe is reselling for too low. That's underrated.
Yeah, true.
I think because for me, if a shoe sells out completely, it's not underrated. Mm-hmm. Because an underrated shoe for me has to be something that is very easy to get because people are sleeping on them, I guess.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And I would say that all of my picks are shoes that don't sell out.
So. Okay. No, that's good. All right. So should we do the brands first? Like the picks from each brand?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Okay. So let's, I'll start with Nike. So when it comes to Nike, I have like not just one particular sneaker. I would like to highlight like a whole series.
Okay.
Because they're actually like maybe even my favorite Nike sneakers because I still wear them pretty much every single week. And that's like the entire Nike Flyknit series.
Okay.
So I know it's like a running model or training model per se, but the Nike Flyknit trainer is one, and then there's the Nike Flyknit racer.
Yeah.
And both of these pairs, Kanye actually popularized them a while back. He used to wear them back when he was on Nike. But these pairs are just so, so good. They're so lightweight. And I wear them. Those are my absolute number one go-to gym shoes. So I go to the gym every week. I always wear my Nike trainers every time. And whenever I go running, which, to be honest, I haven't done in a couple of weeks. But every time I go running, I always wear Flyknit racers. And this isn't like an ad for Nike or anything. It's just like what I prefer wearing, just because they're such lightweight shoes. You really don't feel like you have them on your feet. And not only that, I think they just look so good, especially like the Flyknit racers. I remember back when like Nike was producing a lot of them, almost every colorway would hit the outlets.
Yeah.
And because I used to collect Flyknit racers because I loved how they look, and there were so many dope colorways. And I remember getting like all these pairs like 50% off, like 70% off. Even back when I was in Canada, they would hit the outlets. And I never got why, because like I think they just looked so dope, like such a sleek silhouette. And yeah, so like for me, like the Flyknit racers, they didn't deserve to go to the outlets. They were too nice.
I think those are an interesting one, because I think there was like a very brief period where they would sell out and resell for quite a lot, but only certain colorways, right? Like the Oreos, like yeah. The black and white ones. And I do agree with you that like over time, and I think even back when they were super hyped and these other colorways were hitting the outlets, but especially over time and now looking back, I mean, when did they come out? Like 2014, 2015, mm-hmm. something like that. So it's been over 5 years now, right? I think definitely one to call underrated, like very, very nice and popular shoe at the time, but now definitely underrated and a sleeper pick. Like I wouldn't have thought of that one at all. So like, nice job.
Yeah. I just thought of it because like, I was looking around like in my house and I'm like, yeah, these Nike sneakers, like I never talk about them ever. And I wear them every week. So they had to be definitely pretty high on my list. Do you have a pick from Nike?
Yeah. So my one is also like one that I have a personal connection with, and it's actually the Cortez, Cortez. And I know that in certain areas, like I know that they're super, super popular in LA because it's a very LA shoe. But it's a shoe that, you know, nobody really does any collaborations on it. It's a shoe that doesn't sell out, you know, sits on shelves. You can go into the store, take a look at them, try them on, buy them, you know, as it should be generally speaking. But for me, it was my first ever Nike shoe. Like back when I was, I don't know how old I was, like maybe 7, 8, 9. I had a pair of like the classic white, blue and red Cortez, and I just loved them. And I made sure not to get any mud on them, any dirt. And this was like, you know, you're a kid and you run around, you're playing outside. So it was pretty crazy that I was just so enamored by these shoes. And I would say definitely, I mean, like they don't get the attention that they deserve. I would love to see more collaborations done on them. Maybe like Nike even experimenting with some materials on them, because they are quite a bulky silhouette for what they are, right? Like they're quite rounded. And I feel like if you swapped out the leather for, you know, like a knit Flyknit material or some sort of nylon or something like that, you could maybe play around with the shape of it a little bit. I'd love to see Virgil do a Cortez, to be honest, just because he, you know, he goes crazy with shoes, you know, and like changes things out, swaps out materials, that kind of stuff, puts holes in them. So yeah, my pick is the Nike Cortez.
Yeah, that's an interesting pick. I mean, that shoe has been around since what, the 70s?
It was one of Nike's first ever shoes. Like it was the shoe that Nike was making for ASICS, and then they basically stole the design. I think back then it was called the Aztec. And then they changed it to the Cortez and then they put a swoosh on it, and then the rest is history. But I think, pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was Nike's first ever shoe, like point blank period.
Yeah, I got to look into that. But that sneaker is not a sneaker I see ever in Europe. I don't see people in Berlin wearing them at all? And do they even sell them here? Because I haven't really even seen them on the shelves on any of the sneaker stores.
I don't know if, like, I think maybe a couple years ago they re-released the original colorway and you could probably buy that one because it was like a special re-release, whatever. But I've only ever seen them on women here in Berlin as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, different geographic kind of consumer behavior. And that's why I would say, like, especially here in Berlin in Europe, you're right, like, super underrated shoe.
Yeah, no, definitely. And there really haven't been any collabs. I remember there was one with Kendrick.
True, yes.
Last year or the year before?
No, it was before the pandemic, I think, right?
Yeah, so
it was
like house
2018,
shoes.
2019. Yeah, they did like three or four of them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
True, I forgot about that. Okay, stand corrected. They do collaborations on them, but not that often, or not as often as other sneakers.
That was a pretty organic collab, you know, Kendrick, the biggest rapper out of LA.
Yeah, right? true.
But yeah, besides that, you don't really see anything with the Cortezes.
No.
But you have a few pairs?
I don't, actually, because... You can't get them here, and that might be one that I should get at some point. Maybe next time I'm traveling and I see him or something, I'll pick him up.
No, that's a solid pick. That's a solid pick. And guys, anyone listening, there's literally countless of options we could have chosen here for Nike. There's so many of sneakers in their catalog we could have chosen. But yeah, we didn't want this pod to be like 2 hours, so we just chose one from each brand. But yeah, moving on. Do you have any from Jordan brand?
No, I did Adidas, New Balance, and Nike.
Okay.
But if you have one from Jordan brand, let's hear.
Yeah, this is just very quickly. I wanted to just give some love to the Jordan 5s.
Okay.
And I know it's tough to say that it's an underrated shoe because definitely like the collabs sell out instantly. But at the non-collabs, though, at least here in Europe, they never sell out. In fact, they even go on sale. I've seen them, you know, 50, 40% off. And in the States, too, like nowadays, a lot of fives are sitting. And yeah, it's a shoe that I feel like it's pretty similar looking to the fours. Yet the fours, you know, every time they always sell out. The fives, they're pretty similar. They're just as chunky as the fours. But they don't really get that kind of hype, unless like it's Virgil or someone like that. And I don't know why, because I think they look great. Mm-hmm. Even though like I was only like really recently become a fan of them, but I've really become a fan of them. Like since the Virgil pair, I caught myself like a pair from 2016, the metallic silvers.
Yeah, I remember that.
Super super nice pair. Then this year there was this like Bluebird pair that released, which was like a woman's release.
Oh, that one is super nice in person.
Oh yeah, super nice materials, so icy. It's that's another colorway that it doesn't really actually like all the women's sizes are sitting, and it didn't really resell for much. So yeah, I feel like the fives are just not getting as much love, even though they're just pretty much like a stepbrother of the fours.
Yeah,
in a way.
That. I have to say, like, I'm not a huge fan of the fives just because I find the tongue too big and too chunky, and the ankle padding is too, like, it's such a hefty shoe. Mm-hmm. Which is weird because the four was, or I mean, is pretty hefty as well, but in a different way, right? Like the five goes a little bit higher than the four
as well. It's that tongue, right?
It is the tongue. I think the tongue makes a huge difference because then if you look at the six and the seven, it goes into a much sleeker mm-hmm. kind of design, and also just that the ankle padding is a lot sleeker and thinner, so it's a bit kind of sticks out from the first, you know, seven signature sneakers, because the eight's chunky again as well. I would agree that it's underrated, but you know, for me, like, just not a huge fan of it.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. So let's move on to Adidas.
Yeah, so actually funny, because I feel like Adidas, you could probably pick a lot of underrated sneakers, right? But I picked the Gazelle, mm-hmm. which for me is, you know, it's a sneaker that has a lot of history. It came out in the, I think in the 60s, so it's been around forever. And actually a fun fact that I saw when I was researching this was that back in the day, like the different colors showed like the different performance purposes of the shoe. So I believe the red Gazelle pair back in the 60s and 70s was for handball, and the blue one was for training, and then there was like another one, like a lime green one later on, and you know, it in addition to being like one of the best performance shoes back in the 60s and 70s, it was also one of the first Adidas sneakers to have suede on it. But later on, like in the 80s and 90s, through hip hop in Europe and then Britpop as well in the UK, people like Michael Jackson were wearing it, Kate Moss, Oasis. So it kind of mirrors a little bit like the Air Force One, the Air Max One a little bit, where it's got that like cultural street cred. A lot of football fans on the terraces wore it in the 80s in the UK as well. And generally, it's just like one of the first performance shoes from Adidas with suede. And they played with color. So the stripes were always white. And then they had like different pops of like, you know, red, blue, as I said, green. Later on, you had like pink, different shades of blue. And yeah, just overall very, very solid, kind of sleek, understated design that, again, doesn't sell out. And I would say that it is rated in certain like subcultures or groups of people. But as a whole, if you look at like mainstream sneaker culture, it's definitely underrated.
Yeah, no, I don't know about super underrated, but yeah, it is underrated because that sneaker does have so much history behind it. But your other point about the fact that this sneaker does have a niche community, you know, that's very much like into gazelles. Actually, somebody who follows us on the Kickback Pod is Dassler's Finest. I'm just looking at his Instagram right now, and he has like actually over 100,000 followers.
Oh wow!
And he basically just posts all these pictures of vintage Adidas's, a lot of Gazelle Sambas, mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, this is an example of you know, like there's a very strong community of these Adidas heads, let's call them. You know, like fans of the Samba, fans of the Gazelles, and I was looking at all of Adidas's catalog, and it was actually pretty difficult for me to come up with a underrated sneaker, because it feels like all of their product lines has like niche communities that are like very strong supporters of it.
That's true. I guess I was coming at it more from like a mainstream hype perspective. You know, but I do agree that like there's collectors. Like there was a story a few years ago of a collector in South America somewhere, I don't know if it was Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay or something like that, but he had, I think, like thousands of vintage, I think he might have used to own a store or bought out stock from a store in the 70s, but he had like Campuses and Gazelles and Sambas from the 60s, 70s, 80s. So yeah, there's crazy, crazy Adidas heads out there as well. So like, by no means am I trying to say that, you know, like nobody likes the shoe, but I find that considering the you know, the cultural standing it has, and the history, that it is slightly underrated in the mainstream.
Yeah, in the mainstream, yes. But if you look at their product lines, you know, like the Gazelles have that strong community, then also like that ZX series, also a very big community behind that. Yeah, I was like going through Adidas's shoes and I'm like, damn, all of these shoes, yeah, they have their fans, you know?
Did you manage to find one though?
No, or? I actually couldn't. I couldn't find one for Adidas, but I did want to give a shout out to, I guess, Adidas's sister brand, or I know they own this company, Reebok. I wanted to talk about the Club C's.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the Club C's, they kind of get slept on in a way when you compare it to the other, you know, basic white sneakers out there. Like, you know, like everyone, even if they aren't into sneakers, they own a pair of Air Force Ones, white mm-hmm. Air Force Ones, or even a pair of Stan Smiths, you know, like just your friends that you know who aren't into shoes, those are shoes that they know.
Yeah.
And they wear.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the Club C for me is like the best looking. If I'm just looking at like this group of or this category of shoe, for me, like the Club C is the best looking out of all of them.
Yeah.
But I feel like not everyone owns a pair of Club C's, and it doesn't really get as much shine as these other sneakers. I know, for example, the Air Force Ones, they're so popular. They're still Nike's number one shoe. They never ever go on sale because Nike doesn't need to put them on sale.
Yeah.
And I mean, in my opinion, like the Club C's are just a way better looking shoe than the Air Force One. At least I think so. It's just like, it's not as chunky. You can wear it with anything. It's like the perfect, like, I'm not into sneakers, but I want to still look good.
Yeah.
I'm going to rock a pair of Club C's.
It's funny that you say that, because I have a good friend, Patty, who is definitely not into sneakers.
Yeah.
And he only rocks all white Club C's.
Yeah. They're great, man.
They're comfortable. But like you said, the shape is really nice on them. Even the general release pairs generally have very good quality materials as well. Like the leather is usually quite soft. And the lining, they've got like this terry cloth lining, which makes them super comfortable. So I definitely agree with everything you just said.
Yeah, and I know there has been some collabs too on this pair, but even the collabs don't really sell out, even though some of these collabs are just super nice. I know you mentioned you just got this Eames collab. There was a last year, there was a collabs with Adsum, which is like a brand based out of Brooklyn, like a chocolate brown pair, which I thought was like really, really nice. Yeah, like Club C's need to get more love. Isn't there that guy from the Complex podcast who's like a big like Reebok guy?
Oh, Brendan Dunn.
Yeah. I know he's always talking about Club C's. Yeah, but I also want to, you know, shed some light on the Club C. I feel like it's underrated. It should belong in that mainstream sneaker discussion.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong with a classic pair of Club C's, especially the triple white pair.
Triple white, yeah, it's classic.
Yeah. Do you have any New Balance shoes on your list?
No. See, I actually don't have any New Balances because I really don't think they're underrated right now. I feel like every New Balance model is selling out right now, whether it be in the 990 V3, 992s, the 550s, they're all selling out right now. So I don't know if it's fair to say that any of their sneakers are underrated. Maybe some of their more mainline sneakers. Do you have one?
Yeah, so I actually have like an entire series. So like the New Balance Numeric series is their skateboarding
shoe. Oh, okay, cool.
And I'll show you this one right here. This is the 272. And it's also, you know, like a low profile, similar to the Club C, Stan Smith kind of style, or like even the Janoski, the Nike Janoski. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to that. And I just find the Numeric series relatively underrated outside of skateboarding, right? I think that they are rated highly by skateboarders. But again, it's just like the color blocking on this is super clean. You can change up the color blocking really easily. They're super light. They're super durable. They've got a vulcanized sole similar to Vans shoes. So, you know, like they'll hold up when you're skating with them, but they're also comfortable enough to wear all day. So I just thought that, like, you know, like you said, everyone is like hyping up the 990s, the 900 series, the 550s, even, you know, to a lesser extent, the 1000, 1500s, all that kind of stuff, the 500 series and the skateboarding. And, you know, they're like, this kind of sits in between like heritage and performance, right? Like they are performance shoes, but they're not like running shoes. I feel like these get forgotten. And I feel like a lot of people don't even know that New Balance makes skateboarding shoes. So if I had to pick one from New Balance, and I agree with you, it was tough to find one, but then I was like, oh shit, Numerics. So this definitely counts as underrated in my opinion.
No, those are pretty fire, man. I'm not going to lie. And I definitely think they look way better than the Janowskis.
Yeah, that's true.
So definitely. I think that's underrated.
They've just got like a very similar shape, like a low profile vulcanized sole. But I feel like the N logo on here looks really, really nice and crisp. This is a collaboration pair, but they've also got some like really nice non-collaboration colorways where they've got like a burnt orange like toe box with a black kind of heel and quarter panel. So there's a lot of good stuff out there. So if you're looking for a New Balance shoe that's comfortable, these are also cheap. They're like $60 or $70, so under $100. And something that not everyone is wearing, definitely take a look at New Balance Numeric series.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have any other brands you want to talk about?
No, those are the three that I had. Okay. I don't know if you have any others.
No, I don't have any others. But we also wanted to just highlight underrated brands itself, not just like sneakers from big brands. And so we both have one each. I'll go first. So. Yep. I've started to notice that, you know, just on Instagram amongst the, I guess, you know, influencers, let's call them that, and some of the more like popular celebrities, I started to notice that they're rocking a new brand that typically I have just not seen in like mainstream pop culture, I guess. And that is like Salomon. So Salomon sneakers, which are basically like hiking shoes or even ski shoes. They make a lot of ski stuff. I've noticed that they've started to really gain popularity, and the way that they're gaining popularity reminds me a lot of like a couple of years ago when New Balance was really starting to take off. you know, you start to see New Balance at like Paris Fashion Week. People are rocking the 990 V5s, the grays. And now you're seeing people at Fashion Week, like even like these big time fashion influencers on Instagram rocking Salomons with their outfits and making them look good. And people in the comments saying, what are those? You know, so I feel like Salomon is like on that trajectory right now as a brand to watch out for. I don't own any pairs myself, and I honestly didn't know a whole lot about Salomon. I was looking into it on the way here. Damn, I had no idea they've been around since 1947.
Yeah, they've been around for a while. They're like, when it comes to trail running, they're one of the best.
Yeah, actually, I think they are like the number one trail running brand in the world. They've also been supplying the Olympics for years, like with their ski equipment and ski binding equipment. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they've been around, but their sneakers haven't really, you know, caught on. But definitely, they've been catching my eye lately. A couple of pairs, the XT4 and the XT6 especially. Yeah, some of these colorways look super, super hard. I'm not going to lie. Bella Hadid actually wore a pair of XT6s a couple of weeks ago. And instantly, that colorway sold out. And it was selling on GOAT for like three times the price. So, but of course, she's Bella Hadid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm starting to notice Salomon definitely catch some fire. And I definitely think it's underrated because these sneakers, the XT4, the XT6, I think they look really, really nice. And if you're into wearing, you know, like New Balances, I think you could wear these Salomon sneakers with the same outfits and it'll look just as good.
Yeah. No, I'd say that Salomon, like, again, from like a hype mainstream kind of perspective, definitely underrated. I think in like the fashion microcosm, they've been around for a few years. Like they've had collaborations since like 2017 or whatever, so they've been slowly and steadily kind of increasing. But like I would say that like Jordan heads or people that are like exclusively wearing you know, Nike Dunks, that kind of stuff, might not have ventured too far into that realm. And the two that you mentioned, the XT6 and the XT4, by far they're most aesthetically pleasing models in my opinion. And then they have some like hiking shoes, trail runners that are like go more in towards like the ugly chunky kind of dad shoe vibe, which, you know, as you know, is super popular in Berlin as well. Like I see a lot of Salomon in Berlin. I feel like outside of Berlin you might not see it as much unless you're actually hiking or sorry guys, our food just arrived. We just ordered burgers. No, but to my point about Salomon, they are, I think, in a microcosm of like fashion and kind of ugly sneaker trend, especially in Berlin, they're quite popular. But mainstream, general kind of sneaker heads, I would say they're definitely underrated. And if you haven't tried them out yet, please do, because like Josh said, colorways, so, so nice. They've got some like really beautiful gradient colorways. The XT4, the XT6 are really dope, but they have a lot of other silhouettes that are worth a look for sure.
I'm going to get myself a pair by the end of the year.
Do
because,
it, definitely.
Because they look fire.
We have discount at High Snob. I can...
What? Okay. Nice.
I'll hook it up. No, but I guess unless you have nothing else to add, right?
That's it.
All right, cool. Then my brand is a little more niche, actually. I don't even know. Maybe you haven't even heard of this brand. It's called Karhu.
Oh, is it that Australian brand?
No, it's Finnish.
Oh, but there's like a logo of like a kangaroo on it?
Or yeah, it's like a badger or a bear or something like
okay,
that.
Okay.
But okay, yeah. So you know it.
Like, I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah. So Karhu is the first brand that comes to my mind because like Salomon, they have some really lovely colorways. They use a lot of really nice pastel and spring hues on their shoes. The shoes are also great quality and very comfortable. They use some really nice suedes as well. And they usually come at a relatively good price. You know, like none of their shoes are costing you, you know, 180, 200 euros. They're usually around, I think, 110, 120, sometimes even cheaper, which is pretty decent. And yeah, I figured that they're pretty underrated because I would say that most people listening, or some people listening at least, wouldn't have heard of the brand before. And they're stocked in a lot of top sneaker stores. I know that Soulbox has them.
Overkill
has a lot of them. Sneakers and Stuff has them as well in Berlin. And nobody really ever talks about them. I know that at Heisen Body we write about them very rarely, which is a shame because, like I said, some of their colorways are really beautiful. And I think they started as a running brand, as you know most shoe companies do, and now they've transitioned into primarily lifestyle. So like all of their like retro vintage models are being sold as lifestyle shoes now. I think they did have one collaboration last year or even this year that was performance, but I would say that, like, as far as I know, 90% of their inventory is lifestyle kind of classics. So yeah, if you guys are ever in a store and you see some Carhu, give us a shout out, let us know on Instagram, and let us know what you think, because I'd be really interested to know what you guys all think about that brand.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about them. I don't own any pairs, but yeah, you're right, some of these colorways definitely are pretty good. And guys, if you are listening, if we missed out on any sneaker that you think is super underrated or any brand as well, yeah, definitely hit us up on Instagram. We'll repost it to our stories, because yeah, definitely we want to hear from you guys. So yeah, that was pretty much it for the underrated sneakers, underrated brands. And now let's just get into the usual, which is getting you guys ready for the next 2 weeks. There's definitely going to be, it seems pretty Yeezy heavy, yeah, from this list I have here. But yeah, over the next 2 weeks, definitely some heat on the way. We'll start off with on the 5th, which is November the 5th. Yeah, we got the 990 V3 from New Balance.
The classic gray ones, right?
The classic gray ones. And this is, I think this specific one is like the classic version. I'm not sure exactly how different it is than the regular 990 V3s that I've been releasing.
I think it has like a tag on the back with like a red tag on the heel that just says version 3.
Okay.
Because, you know, they've released the V1, the V2, now the V3, the V4 is coming up as well, in kind of the lead up to the V6 being released next year.
Okay.
So I don't think it's any different apart from just it has that red tag at the back.
Okay, so I guess it's for the collectors for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely super nice. A lot of really nice 990 V3s this year. We've been getting just spoiled with that model. So yeah, that's going to be releasing on the 5th. this pair, the Yeezy insulated boot.
Oh, banger. That is
yeah,
a banger.
Yeah, yeah. From what I saw, when was the release date for this? I saw it. The release date is, hold on one moment. It's November the 6th. Which is, when is it? That's like, what, Saturday?
That's Saturday, yeah.
Okay, so I think it's going to be on Yeezy Supply only.
Right.
Not anywhere else. There's no other raffles or anything, but seems like it might release Yeezy Supply this Saturday. And damn, man, what do you think of these shoes?
It's the best way to describe it to anyone who hasn't seen it yet is it's a puffer jacket for your feet.
Yeah, you know? Perfect, man. Right? Perfect way to describe
and
it.
And I saw a meme earlier. I'll show it to you later. But it was like how to make the whatever. I don't even know what it's called anymore. How to make that shoe. You basically get a Yeezy foam runner. And then you cut, like you shave the top part off a little bit to make the like the foothold bigger. And then you just wrap like puffer material around it. And then you have it, because basically the bottom part does look a little bit like the foam runner.
It does.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy shoe. I can't see anyone seriously wearing it unless you're like a fashion, whatever, like fashionista or whatever. Like I don't know, man.
Man, if I was still living in Canada, I would be wearing these because man, do you know how badly it is like for your feet to step into minus 20 weather?
Yeah,
it sucks, man. You don't feel your toes anymore.
These are like Yeezy Uggs, you know?
Yeah, and these look like they're definitely gonna keep your feet warm.
100%. So, I think you can't wear them in weather that's not negative 10 or below, because you're just gonna sweat in them, you know?
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. They look very cozy. I'm not too hot on how they look, but functionality wise, yeah, I mean, I've always wanted a puffer jacket on my feet, especially when it's like minus 20 outside. So yeah, these look pretty good, and this colorway is pretty decent, the khaki colorway. That's yeah, gonna be the OG pair. What else? I got the Off-White 2s dropping on November the 12th.
Oh yeah.
So we've been seeing these pairs for since the start of the year, basically. and there's gonna be two colorways, this white pair, a black pair as well. Yeah, I've never been a fan of the twos, and even less a fan of the low top twos, and even less a fan of this particular collab, man. I'm not feeling these at all. The cracked sole, the look of them. To me, this is like one of the ugliest Off-White collabs. Mm. I really don't like these, man, both of these colorways. I'm definitely not going to be getting them for myself. If I get them, you know, I'm going to obviously make a video, resell them. I'm not wearing either of these. what do you think of this pair?
It's difficult. I would say that I agree they are probably his worst Jordan collab.
Yes.
Right? But that's also just because twos are just not as loved as other pairs. I would say it was a good call to go low, because I find the lows better than the Jordan 2 highs.
You think?
Yeah. And yeah, the cracked midsole, it's a bit gimmicky, but he took to Instagram recently and like started replying to comments and like explained his thinking behind it. And apparently what Virgil did was Michael Jordan has like donated a bunch of shoes to Nike, or like Nike has shoes that he wore back in the day. And a pair of game-worn Jordan 2s is in the archive somewhere. And obviously after 30-whatever years, the sole is crumbling. And what they did was they did a 3D scan of that exact pair that's in the archives and replicated the crumbling effect on his shoes. So like the way that the sole is fake crumbling on Virgil's shoes is how they actually look in the archives, which I find is like a kind of like a cool touch, you know?
So see, now I got newfound respect.
Right. So that made me like them a little bit more. So I have to admit they're growing on me. Will I get them? Would I wear them if I got them? Probably not, just because I'm not a 2 or a Jordan fan generally. But I would say they're not as bad as I thought they were maybe 6 months ago when they were first rumored.
Okay, now that I know the backstory a little bit, okay, the crumbly sole, pretty cool. I still see nothing but bowling shoes, though, when I see both of these pairs. They look like some hyped-up bowling shoes.
Now, so. The black and blue colorway is also hard. Like, you know, I know Royal colorway looks good on the ones, but it just doesn't really translate to the two, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I know, like, you know, we're probably going to get some hate from some of the listeners on this because there's some big-time Jordan 2 fans. But yeah, the rumored release date for this is November the 12th. And then the last pair I wanted to talk about, this is the following day on the 13th, another Yeezy. So this is another boot. This is the Yeezy Knit Runner boot. So you guys have already seen the sulfur pair, the yellow or the banana shoes, as I like to call them. And now there's going to be a boot version, which has kind of like this ribbed outsole. So it seems to be like maybe like a hiking shoe of some kind. And of course, like it's a high top sneaker, which also seems like it's quite warm looking. It seems like it has some insulated material on the upper. Mm-hmm. So and pictures of Kanye wearing it. It looks also like another Yeezy UGG in a way. I actually think these look better than the Knit Runners, than the regular Knit Runners.
Yeah, I think the Knit Runners, like the low top ones, they're hard to just because they're so chunky, the Knit Runners, that like they ended up looking like a banana boat on your feet, right? Because they made your feet look so big, and then suddenly your legs are relatively skinny compared to them. It just threw everything off whack. So I agree that the proportions are better on this one. What I have to say though is that the like ankle, the upper part, the high top part, to me it just reminds me of, and I don't know if you see this, but you know, like when you're like in the gym and you're playing pickup basketball or something like that, and you got these like old OGs playing with you, and they've got their like their knees like wrapped up with like that like kind of brown gray colored knee wrap, like that's what that looks like to me. So it almost looks like the Knit Runner low top with like a weird orthopedic knee wrap as like an ankle support, which is a weird way to describe them. I get it, but like that's just kind of what I see when I look at them.
Yeah, I completely see your point about the orthopedic knee wrap. I like the way Kanye wore it, though. He wore like his jeans over that part, mm-hmm. so you kind of just see the bottom of the shoe and, yeah. and the ridges at the bottom, and I think that's a really nice look on
that's
the shoe.
True. That's true. I mean, I'm interested to see how much they cost.
They'll yeah, probably the Knit Runners, I'm still kind of confused about the retail price
yeah.
of $200 yeah. because it's not, to
these'll,
me, it doesn't
these'll
look
like probably be like between $230 and $250 or something. I see,
yeah, no, you know? That's crazy. That's nuts. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me for upcoming releases. Do you have any?
I have one more. So I had the New Balance 990s and I had the Knit Runner boot. Mm-hmm. But also apparently the Travis Scott Nike Air Max 1s are dropping at Astroworld Festival.
Oh, okay.
So those are apparently I don't know if it's both colorways, just one colorway. But those are apparently dropping, and that's November 5th and 6th, so it's this weekend. And I know that at the festival, there's going to be like a Nike sneakers, what do you call it, like geotag or whatever, where you can like then pick up shoes if you're in that location. And it's definitely going to be the Nike Air Max ones. So for anyone who was, you know, hoping to get those, I'm sure there'll be a wider release somewhere down the line, probably next year, maybe before Christmas. This is the first chance to actually get them.
And what do you think of those?
Nah, not for
me. Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
Not for me.
I'm not a big Air Max 1 guy anyways. Mm-hmm. But these, to me, like, I think the patas, for example, just look way better.
Yeah. I had the shape as well. Like, his kind of look weird and bulky, and he, like, changed some paneling. And I do appreciate, like, the fact that he or the team who designed it changed some things up. But for me, it made it see like it doesn't feel like an Air Max 1, you know? It's just a weird shoe for me.
I agree. It doesn't look anything like an Air Max 1. So, yeah, yeah, whatever. I mean, but yeah, look out for that on the 5th. And that pretty much wraps it up. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of us talking about underrated shoes and also all of the stuff we just recently picked up. And once again, shout out to everyone. This is episode 20. We made it to 20. And you guys have been listening and all the feedback. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. And we'll see you guys next time, and we're gonna eat these burgers now.
Oh, they smell real good. See you guys.
Peace.